Thank you so much, Brother Justin, for that information with regards to the restoration. And it only goes to show again, here it is, we are filled, ladies and gentlemen, with opportunity, or I should say, examples of God restoring his people and letting us know that all that is available. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again for brother, for the reading, and also for just tuning in, because we want to press on a little further. And I want to share some information because of the times in which we live. The times in which we live. We want you and I to be among those who have an understanding of the times in which we are living. We need to, when you understand what time it is, then you know how to make decisions, what type of decisions to make, and so on. And so we're going to look at a scripture today, well, a real series of scriptures, but I want to go ahead and focus on some things to let you recognize certain patterns and for you to plan accordingly. We just heard the request for God to restore his people, for God to allow things to go back to the way they should be. That's the gist of what he was trying, the psalmist was trying to share with the people. And so you and I understand then that God is able to do all these things for us. We don't want to lose sight of that. And here it is, we're coming into some challenging times. And we're going to look at this thing, because none of this thing really is new. All these things have happened before. Well, the people of God, if we understand what time it is, we'll know how to search and to seek out and get the right information so that we can answer accordingly and prosper. The title of this message is, We Shall Continue As Before. What are we going to continue? Whatever it is we have been doing, just like before. Well, where did I get all this information? Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. You know the story. Daniel was in Babylon, and Darius the Mede became king. And he's going to set up people now. They were called presidents at that time. You could call them governors. They're different titles and so on. But anyway, it says it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes. 120 of them. He divide up the land. And they're going to be rulers in their own area. 120. All right, well, they satisfied with that? Oh, no. As we shall see. They should be over the whole kingdom, it says in verse 1. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first. So there were three, and then you guess you might say a lieutenant governor, a lieutenant president, or vice president, or first vice president. Some countries, I think there are two countries with first vice president, but anyway, there were three presidents whom Daniel was first, that the princes thought, that Daniel was the first, that the princes might have give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. So here it is now, there are three presidents. Daniel was number one. And they are supposed to collect the information and oversee all these princes. Daniel's supposed to oversee them. And so they give account to Daniel and the other two. And then now they report to the king. Daniel and the other two princes report to the king. Well, again, what do you know? It says this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Here it is now. This guy have it together. He believe in excellence, meaning just do stuff the right way. You're going to find, ladies and gentlemen, that people tend to get upset with you when you decide to do what is right and you go extra to try to do things. For example, I was talking to somebody and I was sharing with them some of the prophecies. And they are telling me, well, we understand prophecies too. However, I don't like your attitude. I was telling them, I said, listen, you can pray for the times that are coming so that you won't be caught in this. And their argument, well, what about the other people? And I'm saying, well, what about them? If they know about this, then they can pray. If you have information, you can share it with them. But I mean, you know, what? I can't be overly concerned about the fact that some people don't know. No, I'm supposed to tell all those God give me the opportunity to share with and warn them and encourage them to keep praying and for them to share the news. But I'm not going to stop because there are other people who don't hear. That's foolish. Then maybe nobody would hear. What's the point? And they get a little irritated. And I say, listen, let's stop the conversation. We're not going anywhere. Because the point is, our job is to warn the people in season and out of season. That's what the Apostle Paul said we are supposed to do. So we can't say, well, everybody won't know, so we shouldn't tell anybody. That doesn't make sense. At least somebody going to hear if we continue doing our job. And anyway, these presidents in the book of Daniel chapter 6, they didn't like Daniel because he had an excellent spirit in him. And the king said, you know, so maybe I should just put Daniel over everybody. And of course, they get covetous. They didn't like that. So the presidents, it says in verse 4, they sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they couldn't find none. They tried to look and see, let's check out his work. But Daniel got it together, and so they couldn't find none. They search. The Bible said they couldn't find none. So they couldn't find no occasion or fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So he had it together. Continue. Verse 5 says, then said these men, so they come up with a scam now, a scheme. We shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God, concerning the way he worshiped God. We can't find nothing wrong with what he's doing in the job, so let's go ahead and try to find out about his religion and make criticism of it or try to trap him somehow. That is what they're going to try to do with the church down the road. Mark my word, this is it. There's nothing new under the sun. So verse 6 said, then these presidents and princes assembled together. Now everybody, you need it, you know what we call them nowadays, the deep state. These presidents and these princes assembled together, assembled to the king, and they said unto him, Darius, live forever. Well, in modern language, you'd say, long live the king. That's what they would say. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute, to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or any man for 30 days except for you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So they're saying they're going to make a decree. We want an executive order that for anybody to make any request of any God other than the president, because that's going to come down the road, or any other group, they're going to be in trouble. That's the point. Same principle. Notice now, they're conniving together, the 120 princes. Rather than be happy and say, we have a godly man ruling over us, so everything is going to be fine. No, they don't take that approach. They start to connive and concoct scam, and now they're saying, we want a decree, and we're going to talk to the president and try to trick him into signing an executive order. By the way, some of what they're doing now is the same principle. Same principle. And so they come and they say, you know, and they try to build the president up the same way they did there. They said, you know, long live the king. And so they come with the same principle. So it says, now, O king, establish the decree, in other words, sign the executive order and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alter it not. So sign that executive order. All right, verse 9. Wherefore the king Darius signed the writing and the decree. He just signed it just like that. Can you never think the whole thing through? All right. So the verse 10 says, now when Darius knew that the writing was signed, when Daniel rather knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, just like he did before time. He just went and continued praying just like he did before time. I am saying to you, when you learn to walk with God, you shall do as you did before. That's what Daniel did here, and that's the example we're learning. We're going to learn to be wise, but we're going to continue. So he didn't stop because they signed this decree. We're not going to stop serving the God of heaven because there are people who don't believe that we should worship on the Sabbath or keep the holy days. We're not going to, you know, go out and eat worms and all that foolish thing that they're coming up with, saying that there is a shortage of meat, so let's eat this. No, we're not going to follow them. We're going to be wise, but we're going to do just like we did before. Now, I'm saying to you, the reason I'm pointing this out is because we need to make sure we establish our pattern with the Lord, so that when times get tough, you can continue just like you did before. What did Psalm 23 and verse 5 says? Can anybody get to that? Psalm 23 and verse 5. Psalm 23 and verse 5. Yes, sir, go ahead, please.
It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
All right. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So he's going to continue, not because you have enemies. You're not going to say, well, he got enemies, so we can't take care of him. No, he's going to still take care of you. That is what the good shepherd does, even though you have enemies. So down the road, even though we have enemies or they have decrees, we're not going to stop serving God, because God is going to keep taking care of us. That's the bottom line. That's why I said you need to establish yourself beforehand, so you know that he's going to come through on your behalf, because he has been doing it before. All right. And so Daniel continued just like he did before. And so verse 10 says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Well, you know the rest of the story. Read this in your own time. They went and they filed charges against him, and they end up in the lion's den. And God was with him. But he continued just like he did before, because what happened is that the men now They came to the king in verse 12. They came near and spoke unto the king concerning the king's decree. Did you not sign this executive order that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, say you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, yes, that is true. I signed it. I'm the only one. You know, I'm the one who signed it. You know how people talk. And so he says, then they answered and said in verse 13, then king, that Daniel, the slave boy from Judah that you bring over here, you put him in charge, he don't have respect for you. Because even though you signed the decree, he's still going three times a day before his God. And so verse 14, now the king realized, hey, wait a minute, no, I've been trapped. The king says, when he heard these words, he was sore displeased with himself. How did I make them fool me into signing this executive order? How did I let them do this? You see, he didn't think it through. He didn't consult God before he did it. This is another reason why you need to pray things through before you make decisions. And so he realized it was a mistake and he was trapped. You can read the rest of the story. Daniel's going to get away. However, my point is this. He'll teach us a lesson that we need to have ourselves established on a godly principle so that we then can receive from the Lord in due season. All right? Now, as we study the lesson today, there are five things I'd like for us to take into consideration about the times that are ahead of us. Food provision. We're going to need food down the road, you know. That's important. We also need to know about our lifestyle, how we live, whether we can go talk to your neighbor and so on, and your relatives and so on. Your lifestyle, and you know, I guess your lifestyle and entertainment, what you do in your free time. The third thing you want to think about, your service to others, what you can do for other people. Think about these things. What are you going to be able to do for them down the road? Time's going to get tough. Some people won't have jobs. Some people won't have food. Some people won't have shelter. They're going to probably have a combination of those. And the fourth thing is how you worship God during these challenging times ahead of us. The times that are just ahead. Remember I said they're talking about now preparing for war in Europe. Everybody is talking about it. They're getting ready to build more nuclear weapons. I mean, what we have now is nothing compared to what we're going to see. And it has gotten out of hand. So how are you going to be able to worship and so on? Let's say we were cut off. And we wouldn't be able to tune into these messages and so on. Maybe 6-7 months. Would you be able to feed yourself, spiritually speaking, and get up just like you did before and have service every week on the Sabbath at the appropriate time? Do you know how? Are you able to do it to teach the other people around you? You should. You need to be planning for that now. This is how you establish yourself. What about your food and your provision and so on? Because there's going to be a shortage of food in stores, you know. The deep state behind the wars that you see between Russia and Ukraine, they're behind all this. The deep state is behind all this thing with Hamas and Israel and Iran. And all those things, they are behind all these things. They're instigating, just like these presidents, you see, who set up this thing claiming that they're just trying to set up a law, law as an order. That's what they said. They were just forming a decree. And so the leader, he just went on, the King Darius, he just went on his sign. He didn't have it together. And so we see all these things developing. And I'm saying to you, that we need to be planning for these five eventualities. There are more, but you just make a list and you can plan accordingly. What about all the fake news that they're having? For example, there was a lot of argument about Mr. Musk he went to some special briefing at the Pentagon. I'm not sure the nature of which one it is. Did he really go or did he not go? Did he go find out about our nuclear secret so he can give it away, as some people are trying to tell me? Or is that the case? Did he really even go hear that part of it? What about the part that they had there open for everybody who can listen to on the internet, and it was open, you know, not just for Mr. Musk, but for anybody who tuned in onto the website? So we don't know all the full details of what's going on, the fake news and so on. So I am saying to you, you have to establish your pattern so that God will know where you stand and be able to assist you as you go through life on a regular basis during these challenging days that are ahead of us. Like Daniel and Job, remember Job? We went through all these things. The Bible said he did not sin. He didn't blame God. After all, he lose all his family and lose all that stuff and the sickness and so on, he didn't blame God. He didn't blame man. Daniel didn't blame God. He didn't blame anybody. He just continued praying like he did before. He didn't say, man, I should have gone lock my door, hide so nobody can see me. You know, what's it, about 6 years ago, I was talking to this gentleman and he was telling me how there is a fellow who used to attend services. He said, I have not seen him in 3 years. Because we're talking about in the end times, times are going to get tough. Therefore, we may not be able to do a lot of what we are doing now. So that fellow said, well, you know, what I'm going to do, I'm going to get off the grid and nobody's going to be able to find me. Well, he said the guy took it literally and he didn't see him for 3 years. We had to run into him in a supermarket. He said, I told you nobody's going to be able to find me. He hadn't been to services or nothing, talked to nobody, he just disappeared, just like that. He has a misunderstanding about how to prepare for the times ahead. Listen to me. I have bank accounts. I'm not going to close them because of the time, because of what we see now. I still use the banks. I still use my ATM machine. I still drive a car. I still buy gas. I still go to the grocery stores and so on. I'm not telling people not to do these things. Yes, it's going to be tough down the road. Yes, the times are coming when you may have to have something stocked up before. But my point is that you're not going to let this thing get you off guard. Are you with me now, ladies and gentlemen? So what are some of the things that we should expect so that then you can plan accordingly? As I mentioned, there are five main areas: food, provision, you know, lifestyle, or you can go visit with friends and relatives and so on. Because you remember when these deceivers came and tried to tell people you can't gather in no more than so many people in a home, no relatives. Remember the pandemic, they were telling people stay away from each other, and they fooled the people really and convinced them that if they go talk to their neighbor that they might get sick and they might die. And they encouraged people, so people who need help, they wouldn't let relatives come and see them. You remember some of the people went to the hospital, they died, couldn't see their relatives, because they're telling them they're going to catch the COVID-19. You remember all the little tricks they tell? Oh, you can't have people have coming to a party in your house. And they came up with all kind of different systems to control the people. While certain leaders, they were still going to restaurants. They were still going to parties, and they were hosting parties and traveling all over the place and stuff like that. Do you remember all that? Well, I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, you have to have understanding of how things are and how they should be, so you can continue afterward. You don't need nobody to tell you. In Isaiah, the third chapter, I want us to look at something because we need to know what is coming. And we are going to... What do you need? This is the little one. Straight across. Shell. And so what I'm saying is this. In Isaiah chapter 3, he says, the time is coming that God is going to take away from Judah, and Judah is just an example, verse 1, for our Lord, Lord of hosts, do take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. In other words, he's going to take away the stuff that people have on a regular basis. Is going, you're not going to have the amount of water, you're not going to have the amount of food, and so on. I said there are going to be shortages. And verse 2 says, the mighty men, in other words, the military people who have wisdom and common sense, there's going to be a shortage of them. That you will have military people, but they won't be godly and wise. So the man of war and the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the older people who have wisdom and understanding, there is going to be a shortage of these people. You say, well, why are the leaders acting so strange and so unwise? Because God is taking away the wise ones. Because the people have become so corrupt, God is allowing us now to live among the unwise, and let the unwise be in charge, and they make stupid decisions and we won't like it. It is that time that we are entering in. Be prepared for it. They are, you say, well, why do they do all this thing? It's not helping them. They were making money and they say, well, no, I'm not going to do it no more. They stop thinking rational. Those days are coming. He says, I will give children to be their princes. Children meaning that they, somebody who's, you know, a child, they think like a child, cutting down a common sense, none. That's what he means here. He says, I'll give children to be their leaders, their princes, their counselors, their mayors, and so on. Their prime minister, their president. That's what's going to happen. And babes shall rule over them. That's verse 4. The people shall be oppressed one by another. Verse 5. And you can read on, but you get the idea. He says, this is a time in which we are heading. And I'm saying to you, unless you get it together, you're going to let this thing get to you. You're going to end up being worried. I wonder what you should do. And start to make excuses and so on. And you probably get involved and argue with a lot of people. I see so many people trying to tell me what the president is trying to do. Did they talk to him? No. They lot the same news that I did. And they are willing to swear. And sometimes I listen to them. They sound like they're ready to go to fight. Like they really know what he's thinking. Well, all you can say is that we're not sure. But my point is this. You don't put yourself in a position where you're going to commit yourself that you end up almost upon the point where you're near commit murder when you don't even know the full details of what's going on. All we know is that it's an unstable time. And a lot of what they're doing does not follow the Bible's approach. But you won't let that bother you. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, in verse 12, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because of iniquity shall abound, because of the times in which we are living, and people won't do right. Some people are going to make it get to them, and they're going to get angry, And when you ask for something like a simple glass of water, can I have some water? Oh, no, I can't help you. And they're willing to more or less start a fight rather than to assist you. Something so simple. We are at that point. And it's going to continue. In Romans chapter 1, because, you know, we live in a generation that think they got it together. You have so many people have been to college, as they put it. Well, in Romans, the first chapter, and verse 24, it says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness." So we come to a point now where people are making foolish and unwise decisions, and they're making even declaration that, you know, you're going to school with so-and-so, this person used to be a girl, all of a sudden now they say they're a man. Madness is coming upon the people. Somebody win some Olympic medal some years ago as a man, now they come on TV and try to tell you that they're a woman. And they want to go run in the Olympics again. The madness that's coming upon the people. That's the times in which we are living. Proverbs 28 and verse 2. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 2, he says, "For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. For the transgression of a land." In other words, transgression. Well, where is that coming from? It is coming from the fact that people won't do right. They won't do what the Bible says. And as a result, then God said, you know what's going to happen? They're going to end up with a lot of people, because people won't take it too long. They come, they're the prime minister, they're president, whatever. They resign and then they're gone. They resign and then they're gone. "For the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof. But the man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged." If you get somebody that doesn't have some sense, they're going to stay. And they'll keep the people together. See, it's the times in which we are living, ladies and gentlemen. And you and I need to make sure we plan accordingly. What shall we do then in all of this? What shall we do? How shall we handle ourselves because of all of this? Well, first thing we're going to have to do is learn to pray. Well, we are familiar with the concept of prayer. And so in Psalm number 11, God is giving us insight, and this is one of the verses, verse 3, that gives us a wisdom key and about what to do. He says, if the foundation is destroyed, because they have done that now, they have destroyed the foundation. The agreement that we had to keep Germany contained and to keep the Russian out, we set that agreement up in this thing called North Atlantic Treaty Organization. That was the whole idea. So we have broken that down now. And so the Germans now is saying, listen, we're going to build a Fort Reich. They haven't called it that yet, but that's what it's going to be. And they are going to build an army now so big that the whole world is going to wonder when they see what is happening. It's going to be much bigger than what we have, you know, in the West. In Europe, eastern side, the Russians, they have an army of 1.6 million people. All the rest of the European countries, NATO, except for the United States, all the rest of them combined as an army of 1.5 million people. Now, the total population is 450. And yet they have an army of 1.5 million, less than the size of the army that Russia has. And Russia only have 140 million. The total population is only 140 million. And so, when you stop and think about it, every 100 person you see in Russia, one of them is in the military. In some little countries, like Estonia and so on, the Air Force only have 3 little planes. They're not even modern planes. 3. They're not into the build. They're going to get there now, but they weren't into the military build-up and so on. Now they see because of the way things are. Everybody knows it's starting to build. So the race is on. So you read about it. I haven't read all of the documents yet, but there's a white paper that they issued. And they're planning, and their argument is now that they will have this army in place by 2030. That is their plan. Now, I believe they're going to have it much earlier, but they're going all out now to build this army. And we in the West won't be able to stop them. They're going to separate themselves from America. And that's part of what the prophecy says would happen. So what I am sharing with you, ladies and gentlemen, is that what should we do? I'm saying if the foundation is destroyed, we need to make sure we are praying about these things on a regular basis. All right. In addition, along that line, supporting that, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Let's see. All right. That's 1 Timothy. Let's see. 1 Timothy 1, 7. Let's hang on a second. I think that's not the one scripture I wrote this thing down. Well, okay, that's sufficient. Let me see. No. The point, okay, I get it. All right, the point here is that we are supposed to continue to embrace, actually, it's chapter 1 and 1 Timothy 1, 2, rather, 7. It's 1 Timothy 2, 7. Let's go to it. That's chapter 3. Okay, 2, 7. It says, did I say Timothy? Yeah. The scripture escapes me because I just type more, but you must have a good report of them that are out. No, that's not it. Let's go. No. It's 1:10. Let me see. All right, let me just go ahead and paraphrase. It broke my thought. But anyway, the point here is, ladies and gentlemen, is that we need to pray on a regular basis for God to why am I getting tight lip tongue? No. We are supposed to be praying on a regular basis for God to grant us wisdom in pursuit of his purpose. So we're going to pray for those who are in authority, for those who are in charge. Pray for those in authority. That's what it is. Pray for those who are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. That's it. Pray for those who are in authority that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. That's the scripture. I forget exactly which one it is, but we'll get that there. Two, you're right. Supplication and so on should be in charge for everyone who is in authority. I scribbled this thing down late last night. And here it is. Instead of a 7, it's a 2. Or 2-2, rather. So the point here again, ladies and gentlemen, is that we should be praying. One, we know what we're supposed to be praying for. Number two, now we're going to pray for those who are in authority that they can run the operation the way things are supposed to run. Wisely. The way God, so that we then can benefit. That's the idea behind it. For those who are in authority, that's for we things run smoothly. And so I am saying to you now, we need to keep this in mind, that we need to pray these things through. And thirdly, according to Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, Ezekiel chapter 11, it teaches us now, it talks a lot, the whole chapter really, about being what? Intercessors for the circumstance in which we find ourselves, the evil situation. We then are supposed to become intercessors for the circumstances that we are surrounded with. We need to be intercessors. So I am saying to you, one of the things that we need to do is to make sure we are praying about the situation, each individual situation that we come in contact with, for the leaders, so that they can make wise decisions, so that things will run smoothly for us. And then we shall also develop the habit of becoming an intercessor, so that we can pray on a deeper level. By the way, it is not just a petition. Maybe we could have a message about that, about prayer. Because when you're making a petition from the Lord, that's one type of prayer. It's a different type of faith that requires you to pray for petition as it is for you to become an intercessor. Intercessor is when you take on these things like it is yours. Like Daniel says, we have sinned. And you're going to appeal to him on that behalf. And so the Lord says, okay, all right, in that case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a break. All right, so we are supposed to pray these things through. All right, now, secondly, what else should we do? Well, we ought to plan wisely. In Proverbs, that is, it goes without saying, but let's go ahead and look at it. Proverbs chapter 11. In verse 14, Proverbs chapter 11, he says, where there is no counsel, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. So you're going to seek advice. I encourage people, you're going to go into business, you need some advisors. You need somebody else who knows something about business. Talk to the other people. Go ask a question. You know, when I was little, we used to have people used to go around and they would ask others about situations, and then they would plan based on what the advice that they get. Now, we have a lot of people who think they know it all. And we think because you see something on the internet, that means it is true. No. But you still need to ask and query. All right? In addition, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 30 warns us that there is no wisdom or counsel against God. There is no wisdom nor understanding or counsel against the Lord. And yet there are people willing to argue with me about what the Bible says when God speaks clearly and he says, so-and-so has done evil in my eyes. And they want to argue, and I'm saying, what are you going to argue about? God, he's God. He already made that declaration. If he said this person is evil, that's it. If he says that person is going to get a break, that's it. If he said, the Bible says, who the Son set free is free indeed. Nobody can go second guess God. But yet there are people out there willing to do this and try to act like they know so much. They're mistaken. What else can we do? Stop voting for those who have an opportunity to make a choice. Stop voting for the wrong kind of leaders, the wrong kind of representative. A lot of these people, they're getting in power not because they steal it, but because people vote them in. So they need to plan wisely. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. In other words, it is not in our purview to automatically seek God. So you need to pay attention now and look at the people. Recognize that they are fallible, they make mistakes. Some of what Mr. Trump do is right, some is wrong. Plain and simple. He's not God, he's a man. People need to understand that. We need to look at things and evaluate it how? Based on the Bible. Not what we wish, but what the Bible says. Now what we think, but what the Bible says. I don't want to hear the opinion of the other Charlie down the street. I want to hear what the Bible says about it. That's why I read the Bible on a regular basis. That's what I want to get, the Bible's viewpoint. That's what I encourage people to do. So we're going to plan wisely. A third thing that we can do is to put out extra effort to seek God. You recall in the nation of Judah, after they went through some tough times, that what they did was they started to open up at the temple and they started to restore certain things. And what they did was they got together and they went to the temple and they started to just praise the Lord. That's what they were doing. They praised the Lord. They had nowadays you would say a sing-along, or they had a praise and worship service. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he says, remember now the Creator in the days of your youth. You know, a lot of people live their life and they wait until they are about to die. That's when they're going to turn to the Lord. Well, they're not going to have much reward in the kingdom of God. They spend most of their waking hours serving the devil and doing things the devil's way. Now that they are frail, or perhaps in some trouble, now they turn to God. Well, it's good that they turn late rather than never. But my point is, start out young. Don't waste your time. Young people, spend your time serving God. It says, remember now the Creator in the days of your youth, when the evil days does not come. In other words, when you don't have the strength and energy that you did some 20 or 30 years before. Nor years draw near, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, some people say, so what time are you getting up? Oh, it don't really matter. They can hardly get up. They're weak. Remember, while the sun or the light of the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. What does that mean? It means that you start to lose your vision and you're going to get frail and so on, so things don't look as bright as they used to. That's what it means. Remember him before those days come. And verse 3 says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the window are darkened. You know, we get older, and so people become a little frail, and they're dentures and so on don't work like it used to when they were younger and so on. He says, remember him before those days come. We should choose God early. Seek God early. Isaiah 55 verses 6 through 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Don't wait until trouble come. Start it now. These are some of the things that we need to practice now on a regular. This is just regular life, really. And you're going to find that we'll go right through the tribulation and you don't have to worry. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then the material things are added to you. The world turn it the other way around. In fact, they seek to encourage you to seek the material things and they ignore God. A fourth thing, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to do is to celebrate God's appointments. You know what they are. Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 23 tells you how to set aside your second tithe. What is that for? That is for assembling before God at the appointed festivals. You should be planning to attend all the holy days to come assemble before God. People don't realize how much they lose by not doing this. Nations don't realize how much deprived they become because they won't seek God. Simple little things. Simple little things. They have a hard time doing it, and then they wonder why things don't work out. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll just close there. chapter 12 and verse 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. How should we live our life? Well, I just told you, live your life in such a way that you can continue just like before, regardless of what regulations that they implement or whatever things you might see around you. Continue just like before. So he says, let us, because what's the conclusion? Fear God and keep his commandments. That's basically what I was saying. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Fear God and keep his commandments. Verse 14 says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. Whether it is good or whether it is bad. God's going to bring them all into judgment eventually. But for those of us who choose to follow God, you're going to find, ladies and gentlemen, that you won't have to worry. The challenging times that are coming don't bother me one bit. I'm prepared. Other people need help. If I have the opportunity, I'll also help them. And we're just going to go on to the next stage. So I just want to encourage you with these words, ladies and gentlemen. As we see what is happening on the world scene, we won't be worried one bit. We shall continue as we were before. Thank you so much. See you in the next lesson.